loud enough to overcome that. You can't carry a Bible big enough to cover that up. God knows. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 13. Good to see these young people in the service tonight. Before I read the verse, how many young people do we have in the service, say from, let's just say from 25 years old and down? You stand to your feet. 25 years old and down. Look at that. Isn't that a blessing? On Friday night, they're in the house of God. Amen. Let's give them a hand. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, you can be seated. Amen. And y'all are going to be eating and playing and different things afterwards. Okay. Amen. All right. Matthew chapter number 7, verse number 13. The Bible says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because strait is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." It's impossible tonight for you to be saved and there not be evidence to prove it. If the evidence, listen, if the evidence is against you, you have no case. Even in the court of law, if the evidence is against you, it don't matter what you say, the evidence will stand. Amen. The evidence ought to be for you. The evidence ought to be so plentiful in your life that would confirm and say amen that you're a Christian. That there should be no doubt to you, there should be no doubt to others that you in fact know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. Verse 21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils. And in thy name done many wonderful works." And those, that means many wonderful miracles. These were casting out devils and prophesying and performing miracles. Verse 23, "And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Let's bow for just a moment of prayer. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you'll help us in these moments to be sincere with the word and sincere to the calling you've placed on us. And be sincere, Lord, with the message that God, you have directed our heart to preach tonight. Lord, I'm interested in being obedient to you. You will bless obedience. Disobedience works against you and your will. I pray you help me tonight to be sensitive. If you'll help me to know what you want me to do and say, Lord, I will do my very best to be faithful to say it. My greatest concern tonight is certainly not the feelings of the people. My great concern tonight is, are you going to be pleased with this service? And are you going to be pleased with me? That's my desire tonight. Lord, I pray that you will help me as we endeavor to just convey that which you burden our heart about. We'll give you thanks for it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll look back with me tonight, and there's a lot more preaching in these verses than I have time to do. Let's read verse 13 and 14 again, if we could. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and note this statement, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Everyone in this building tonight is in one or two of those verses. You are either a person that is in the broad road, verse number 13, you've entered the wide gate and on the broad road that leads to destruction, and God classifies those on that road as many. Or the other option, praise God, and I'm glad there is an option tonight, you don't have to go to hell. I'm glad there is another option. I'm glad that verse 13 is not all there is to it. I'm glad though there is a hell, there is help. There is a hell to shine and a heaven to gain. Thank God for that tonight. Son, I feel a witness on that statement. I used to be in verse 13, and notice I put that in the past tense. I used to be on the broad road that leads to destruction. But I have been now in verse 14 for 38 wonderful years. The straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I'm glad that I'm numbered with the redeemed tonight. I'm glad I'm numbered with that crowd that's heaven bound with the hammer down. Amen. But I'm interested in focusing our attention tonight on the broad road. The Lord has placed that upon our heart to preach tonight. I want to look at the broad road tonight. Which road are you on? Which path are you on? What destiny is yours tonight? Your destiny, if you're here tonight, lost unless you make the change, unless you accept Christ. The Bible's clear to define your destiny with the term of destruction. Anybody in their right mind would avoid destruction. If you were driving down the road and you saw flashing lights and caution signs that said the bridge is out, you would be a fool to ignore the devastation up ahead. You would stop. You know why? Because you've got a vehicle with brakes. You would not keep your foot on the accelerator, but you would be interested in slowing down and even stopping and ultimately to turn around. But how many tonight are even seated before us here in this service or will be listening by way of DVD or CD as to the fact that you have or be going to get tonight a caution from God, a warning sent tonight from the Lord to turn, to stop, to not go to hell. You don't have to go tonight. That's the devil's desire tonight. He knows he's going, and I like to remind him of it often, that he's headed for the lake of fire. When the devil reminds me of my past, I like to remind him of his future. A verse that everyone that names the name of Christ ought to memorize is Revelation 20 and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. So if you as a believer are being harassed and hounded by the devil, just let him know that you might as well bark and scratch and kick while you can, because you're headed to the lake of fire. And I am not going. Hallelujah. Thank God. Amen. I draw great strength, Brother Wampler, in that. Telling the devil where he's going. And that cannot be reversed. That cannot be changed. He can't get saved. He's hell bound. Amen. And you know what? I used to be going with him. I used to be in that path with him. I was on the broad road that was leading to destruction. And I'm glad I'm saved tonight. So you need to discover tonight, I don't have the authority to tell you if you're on the broad road or if you're on the narrow road, because I'm easily fooled. I've seen people that I about would guarantee would probably be saved, and then they end up getting saved. And then I've seen people that, you know, that was the opposite. So I don't know. But you need to examine your own selves tonight to see whether you be in the faith. How that, and prove your own selves. How that Christ Jesus is in you. Except you be reprobates. And that word reprobates means disqualified. You failed the test. You weren't true. You weren't genuine. You were proven to be false. It's what that word reprobate means. Amen. No doubt about it, in heaven there's going to be major surprises. There are going to be people there that I thought probably wouldn't be. And there's probably going to be some people missing that I thought would surely be there. If you miss heaven, you will not miss hell. Because that's the only two options. I know on Friday night that in a meeting like this, with the atmosphere that has been in the service, it would be much easier to preach something that would stir an emotion or a shout. But that's not the message that God has clearly burdened my heart about. And so we're going to do our best to be obedient tonight. I just want to point out some very simple things, very clear things about the broad road in the text. The first thing that I would like to point your attention to in the scripture is the missing invitation for the broad road. You will not find in your King James Bible in verse 13 and 14, you will not find an invitation to the broad road. It's missing. You will find an invitation to the narrow or to the straight gate, and the narrow, verse 13, starts out with that invitation. Enter ye in at the straight gate. And continues that thought in verse 14, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. But in verse number 13, you do not find at all an invitation, an encouragement for you to enter in the wide gate and to the broad road that leads to destruction. The reason that there's no invitation for that is because you're born onto that road. All of Adam's race is born onto that road. Romans chapter 5 plainly tells us that it was by their sin, that sin of disobedience in the garden, that the whole human race was plunged into sin. So you have no invitation to go to hell tonight. You don't need to be invited to go to hell tonight, because you're already condemned. John 3:18 or verse 17, the Bible said that he came not in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And then it goes into verse 18, and it plainly states there that he that believeth not is condemned already. So you're already, if you're here tonight and you're lost, there's no way that you can try to get on the broad road. You're on it. Everything that's said about it is attached to you if you're on the broad road tonight. There's no worse condition on planet Earth tonight than for you to be sitting in this service tonight on the broad road that leads to destruction. That's the worst condition of all. There's the missing invitation. Number two, and we're not going to be long on some of these. We'll just cover them and head out. Not only the missing invitation do I see concerning the broad road, but I see secondly, there is the meaning or the measurement given. The Bible says in verse number 13, "For wide is the gate and broad is the way." The word broad there is a measurement. The word broad there lets us get a glimpse of a measurement. And what is it? What does it mean? The word broad simply means wide or spacious. You say, "Preacher, what's the message with that meaning?" Here it is. The width of the broad road is far more important than the length of it. Not to God, but to people that are on it. People are on the broad road because they love the width of it. They love the spacious width of it. They can go in any direction and do whatever they want to do without bumping in to a boundary. But the whole time they're on the broad road, listen, focusing on the width. Focusing on the party in life, focusing on the drugs, focusing on friends, and just having a hoorah time going side to side with the width of that broad road. But with every step, Brother Josh, that they're going back and forth, focusing on the fun, focusing on the no boundaries, focusing on the no rules, focusing on the no restrictions, every step they take is one step closer to the destiny. But Brother Joe, they're not thinking about the destiny. They're not thinking about the destiny because they're caught up with the delights that are in the width of it. But Brother Austin, the width of the broad road does not slow down nor stop the destiny. There's no pause button on the broad road. There's no pause button. You can't mash it and stop it, the motion. You're headed toward destruction. That's a motion that's taking place, and the devil is causing multitudes of people to not think about where it's going and where they're going to wind up and what the future holds. All they're thinking about is the width and the pleasure and the fun and the friends and the excitement and the materialism and the possessions and all that's involved in the width of it. Many profess to be on the narrow road, but yet they're practicing a broad road life. Nobody, listen now, nobody on the broad road, nobody on the narrow road is living the broad road life. If that's your opinion of the grace of God, then you have misconception of biblical truth about grace tonight. I'm saved by grace, preacher, and we are, and we ought to be thankful. But I want to tell you, if you want to know about the grace of God and what it means, go to Titus chapter 2. "And the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." And it continues. There's about four or five verses there that makes up one sentence. And a sentence is a continual thought. And it says that it's appeared unto all men. Then it says, "teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." The grace of God never encourages loose living. Amen. That concept is turning the grace of God into lasciviousness. It's when you make the grace of God a license to live loose and be unfaithful and ignore the commandments of God and snarl the nose at the preaching of holiness. Amen. So we have a little insight as to the meaning or the measurement of the broad road. The broad road, amen. The broad road is the path that caters to the flesh. It caters to the flesh. It's attractive to the flesh. When you get saved, you're on the narrow road and you're no longer attracted to the broad road life. Can I get a witness right there? When you get saved by the grace of God, you are, thank God, removed from the broad road and its destiny and its width and all of its practice. You're removed from that. And there's nobody, listen now, there's nobody that's on the narrow road that's leading to life eternal that's looking over at the broad road with envy. Nobody on the narrow road is saying, oh, I wished I was back over there on the broad road. No, sir. If you're living the broad road life, it is probably an indication that you're still on the broad road. Amen, that's right. That's exactly right, isn't it? Amen. So from the meaning of this broad road, the width of the broad road is referred to, and nothing much is said about the length of it. It talks about the width, Brother Wampler, and then it says something about the destiny, but it don't say anything about the width of it. I mean the length of it. You say, preacher, it's awful wide, but and if it's really wide, then it must be very long, and so I will live to be old. Yeah, you know. Go into any cemetery you want to go into, and take an exploratory walk through the cemetery and look at headstones, and you will find every age group that there is. I've preached funerals with caskets that were this long. This long. I've preached funerals of teenagers. I've preached funerals of people in their 20s. I've preached funerals of those in their 30s. I don't know if there's an age bracket that I've not preached a funeral. I've preached a lot of funerals. Amen. Are you listening? The one I referred to the other night, I just preached just a few weeks ago, 38 years old, a man, young man that I've known pretty much most of his life that used to come to our church years ago. And he overdosed, got some bad meth, and within 10 minutes of shooting up, he was dead. In his daddy's arms. And I preached his funeral. And when I got in that pulpit, the place was full of drug addicts. And I said, I want everybody to know that God did not do this. Don't give me that. Well, it was his time to go. No, don't give me that. God don't have to use meth to take you out. God don't use overdose to take you out. No. I said, God did not do that. I said, sin did this. I said, his first name's Jared. I said, if Jared could come back, or if we could mic his voice into this congregation, he would say, preach to them, preacher. Expose sin. Expose the devil. Amen. Expose the broad road. Amen. You get so focused on the pleasures side to side that's no boundaries, and you don't think about that I could be gone tomorrow. Not long ago, listen, I want to give you this. I was planning to give this to you later on, but I want to give this to you now. Recently in Hancock County in Tennessee, unknowingly, there were four young people pillowed their head with plans for the next day. Had no clue that they were getting their very last night of sleep. They awaken the next morning with plans to party and just drink it up, and it led to a high rate of speed, and led to hitting a tree and killed every one of them. When they got up that morning, all they were thinking about, if I could use it in light of our text, was the width of the broad road. We're going to go drink, and we're going to go have a time, and we're just going to live it up, and we're going to laugh and cut up, and then we'll go to bed tonight and do it again tomorrow, possibly. Had no clue that the end of that broad road was on that day. The end, listen, the broad road does have an end. I got a call not long ago of a young man, 28 years old, pillowed his head with his alarm set to get up and go to work the next morning. And his wife in the kitchen fixing breakfast and all kept hearing the alarm go off, and it just kept on going off and just kept on going off. And she thought, he's going to be late for work. My husband's going to be late for work. And she goes in there, and he's already gone. No plans. I didn't plan on it, preacher. 28 years old. Now, these are some people that you probably will not recognize unless you're probably in my age bracket. These were some people that they thought they had life by the tail, so to speak, and they died very young. A man by the name of Stuart Sutcliffe, if I pronounce his last name right, with the Beatles, died at 21 years old. Brian, also with the Beatles, Brian Epstein, died at 32 years old. He was the Beatles' main manager. Rockin' Robin Roberts died at 27 years old. Brian Jones of the Rolling Stones died at 27 years old. Jimi Hendrix, one of the top all-time rock and roll guitarists, died at 27 years old. Bon Scott with AC/DC, one of the writers of the song Highway to Hell and lead singer, died at 33 years old. Not long after singing that song. Led Zeppelin died at 32 years old on his own vomit. Marilyn Monroe died at 36 years old with tranquilizer overdose. Janis Joplin died at 27 years old, heroin overdose. James Dean, movie star, died at 24 years old in a car wreck. Jonathan Brandis died at 27 from injuries after, I didn't write down what it was from, but it may have been a car wreck. But anyway, the age is what I want to emphasize, 27. And recently in our town, a 22-year-old engaged to get married died. Just at the turn of this year, a young man this year found out on Christmas Day they were going to be having a baby. Him and his wife was going to be having a baby. And like 4 days later, he was gone. And he was a good boy. Had a good Christian testimony, but still, death came at a very early age. I am talking about the broad road and its meaning. Number three, I want to hasten on and I want to talk about the broad road and its management or its manipulation. Look, if you will, in verse number 13, and I want to emphasize a word for this point. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way, listen now, that leadeth. Amen. That leadeth to destruction. That word leadeth in that verse right there means to take off, to bring, to carry away, to lead away, to take away. You think you're doing your own thing tonight. You think you're in charge of your destiny and of your direction and all of that. But I want to tell you, the broad road is in charge. It is leading you. We have that word demonstrated with even used in the the story of Jesus Christ, and it shows the meaning of being led. Matthew 26, 57, and they that had laid hold on Jesus, same word, led him away. Matthew 27, verse 1 and 2, when the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, here it is, they led him away. The broad road is leading you away. The broad road is leading you and taking you and carrying you away. Does that not suggest to us that you cannot control the broad road? It controls you. You can't change it. It'll change you. Oh, yes. Oh, my. God help us. Ephesians, the second chapter, tells us that wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, and according to the prince and power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. God's word is showing there that the broad road has got a current to it. It's like a river. When you get in it, you can splash around and you can swim and you can say, look at me, I'm handling it. It's not drowning me, but it's taking you. It's leading you further and further down and further away. So we have a little insight as to the manipulation or the management of the broad road. Number four, could I say something about the masses? The masses that are on the broad road. The Bible in verse 13 lets us see a little insight into that. It said, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and look at now, many there be that go in therein. The word many there. And I thought about this today. You know, the Bible says those that's on the narrow road and going to life eternal, the Bible uses the word few. Well, we can look at John's writing of the book of Revelation. He gives us a little insight of the few. He said it's a number which no man can number. The point is, if a few, the word few, that's going to heaven can be described by a number that excels our calculation, then how many more is in that word many that's going to hell? You have to agree with me, friend, that there are far more that's going to hell tonight than are going to heaven. You say, preacher, I don't want to hear that. A saved person don't mind hearing that. Anybody in here that's saved tonight, they're not mad at what I'm preaching on. They're probably saying, preach, preacher, preach. There's people in here lost. Preach, preacher. Somebody needs to get saved tonight, and I'm convinced of that. I've got a burden on my heart. I'm expecting somebody to get in tonight by the grace of God. I am. I'm telling you, my heart's beating out of my chest with expectation that somebody is going to get the call from God tonight to get in. But there is the masses. You say, preacher, give us some insight as who is involved in the masses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 9, 10, and 11. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Those verses right there says not everybody is going to heaven. You listen to most preachers today when they preach funerals, it don't matter if they live like the devil himself. They'll get up and talk about them being at rest and being in a better place. I've been in funerals before. I wasn't preaching it, but I was just there. And I almost wanted to go up and take a peek into the casket, because the one the preacher was talking about sure wasn't the person that I knew. I thought maybe the preacher was preaching the wrong funeral, or else the casket had the wrong person in it. But it didn't stop there with 1 Corinthians 9 and 10. and listing those lists of people that will not and cannot and never will enter the kingdom of heaven. But then it says in verse 11, and such were some of you. And such were, past tense. That is, you once were listed in that list. You had the habitual practice that could be identified in that list. But now that you have been washed, now that you have been saved by the grace of God, you're no longer in that list. If your conversion has made no change, you better not accept it to be real. No change. No conversion. Amen. If you still behave the same, then you're still the same. Amen. How could a person say, I'm no longer on the broad road, when everything in their life seems to say that you're still on the broad road? And such were some of you, but you're washed, but you're sanctified, but you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the Spirit of God. Revelations chapter number 21, we have another list. In verse number 8, the Bible says, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. God's Word is showing us here that there's still multitudes of people on planet Earth that's headed for hell. The church is asleep. I'm talking about the church like we're in tonight and mine. We're surrounded by multitudes of sinners. There's over 8 billion people on planet Earth tonight. The majority of them have never been saved. Most of them have never even heard about Jesus. While the churches play church and play spiritual politics, sinners are dying and going to hell at a breakneck speed. So we have that list. We have another one verse list, Revelations 20 and verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the book of life? Is your name in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you certain of that? Do you have the earnest of the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you that confirms that you have passed from death unto life? Amen. Romans 8 and verse number 9, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, it doesn't matter if your name is on a dusty church roll. It doesn't matter if you've got perfect attendance of church. It doesn't matter if everybody in church thinks you're it. Amen. And you've got your act together and it's all together. If your name is not in the book of life, I want to tell you, God said you're going to hell. You'll be cast in the lake of fire. I thought about it while I was getting ready tonight for church. I was thinking about a song that I probably haven't heard in probably 40 or 50, probably at least 40 years. Please search the book again. How many's heard that song, old song? Please search the book again. It's just the song was kindly written about a person that is appearing before the gates and was refused an entrance. And they said, please search the book again. I thought my name was there. I went to church on Sunday, but I never knelt in prayer. Please search the book again before you make me go. I thought my name was there. You better not trust a think so, hope so, might be. Good outweigh the bad. You better not trust that. Here it is. This is how plain and clear cut it is. You're either saved or you're not. You're not partially saved. You're either saved or you're not. You're either on the broad road that's leading to destruction, or you're on the narrow road that leads to life eternal. And of course, there's one more. I can't help but I've already quoted the verse, but Revelation 20:10 tells us one more that's headed for the lake of fire, and that's the devil himself. I don't want to go to hell. I wouldn't want to go to hell just because it's going to be where the devil is. That's right. But I'm glad I'm not going. Our youth choir cranks that song up. I'm not going to hell. Praise God. We tear it up. Amen. I'm glad I'm not in the masses. I'm not in the masses that's going to hell. Let me deal with number five, the merciless end of the broad road. The merciless end of the broad road. There's no mercy going to be found at the end of the broad road. No mercy. There's mercy on the broad road. If you're here tonight and you're on the broad road that leads to destruction, if you can do this right here, it's an evidence of mercy. God granted you to breathe one more time. God granted you to be able to get up out of the bed this morning. You didn't die in your sleep last night. If the devil had his way, listen, if the devil had his way, every unbeliever in this congregation would not have made it to church tonight. It would not have made it to church. And you can feel the seriousness of this service and of this message. And I'm trying to preach it in that light. Because nothing's more serious than that. The merciless end. There's mercy on the road in that you're given, your life has been spared. How many in your life had some close calls, whether it was a wreck, car wreck, or whatever? You had some close calls. I want you to just scan and look around here. There's numerous hands in this place that when you were lost, you could have very easily went out of this world. I had some car wrecks that I look at that mangled up piece of metal and it was the people wondered, how in the world did you come out of that? How did you do that? Amen. I had a praying mama. That's how I did it. I had a praying mama. Amen. Yes. One time when I was in high school, a bunch of us boys being stupid went deer hunting. We wasn't interested in deer hunting. We was interested in getting away from mom and daddy and partying and all that bunch of foolishness. And one of the boys that was with us got plastered out of his mind, and he grabbed his high-powered rifle and said, I'm going to go, and this was nighttime. He said, I'm going to go, and we was in a cabin. He said, I'm going to go down into the field, and I'm going to kill a deer. And he fired that. He went fooling with his rifle, and that thing, the barrel, I mean, it was like right here at my head. And he ignited that shell, and I thought I was gone. I thought I fell over, I fell all the way across the room. I just knew I was dead. And I got up and looked around, and there was no blood. And the thought came to me, because I've been raised in church and raised in a Christian home, though I wasn't living it, and I wasn't saved, but the thought came to me right there at that moment. Where would you have been if that barrel would have been just a couple of inches on over to the left, a little bit toward your head? It would have took your head off. That high-powered deer rifle would have blowed your head off, and you would have been in hell forever. I'm glad the devil lost. And it wasn't anything I did. It was God showing mercy on the broad road. What the devil meant to be the end of my broad road and plunging into destruction, praying mama and believing saints, thank God prevented that from happening. I don't know. The barrel may have been pointed at my head, and maybe right there in just the last second, God said, and moved it over. Just moved it over enough to scare me to death, but clear my head. I could be in hell tonight instead of in a pulpit, instead of revival, instead of preaching, instead of throwing out the lifeline tonight to you that don't know God. I could be in hell tonight. There's mercy on the broad road, but there's no mercy at the end of it. There's no mercy in hell. You to listen to this. Hell is so bad that everybody there is wanting out. If you're here tonight and you're lost, everybody in hell, and that's probably a number which is absolutely impossible to calculate, because hell has enlarged itself, and there's no telling how many billions of people that are in hell. No telling. But every one of them, if they could, would swap places with you tonight. They would love to be able to sit in your spot in this service and hear the truth of God and be given an invitation to get saved. That's how bad hell is. Everybody's wanting out. You want to go somewhere where it's 100% popular vote? We want out of here. Hell is so bad. Listen to this. Hell is so bad that if people got out, this goes along with what I just said, if people could get out, they would not go check their bank account. They wouldn't make a trip around through their house to see if their car is still in the garage. They wouldn't call up a friend and say, where's the nearest party? If a person could get out of hell, or if they could all get out of hell, they would find out, where's the nearest preaching? Where's the nearest truth? Where's the nearest revival? Where's the gospel? Who is it that could tell me about Jesus? Amen. They would be interested within seconds of coming out of hell, if they could, and they can't. But if they could, they would get saved. Every one of them would get saved within 2 or 3 seconds after getting out. Because they're all believers. They're all believers. They're no atheists in hell. They might have been an atheist when they went, but 1 second after their spirit went to hell, they was a believer. Everybody's a believer. The biggest prayer meeting of all time, of all eternity, is going on beneath our feet tonight. And they're either praying to get out, or they're praying somebody go tell my family, don't come here. Can you get a hold of that? Mamas that are in hell don't ever want to see their children again. Children that are in hell don't ever want to see mom and daddy again. There's no family reunions going to be in hell. You don't want to go. You say, but preacher, I'm young. Can you give me a guarantee that you'll live to see tomorrow? Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Tomorrow is always the devil's word. Today is God's word. The Bible tells us today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And just as sure as my name is what it is, I have been commissioned of God to preach this message tonight. I didn't know how this meeting was going to go this week, but I knew I was going to be preaching on the broad road tonight. And that don't happen with me, Brother Wamper. Most of the time I know the day of the service is when I'm going to preach. I don't know weeks ahead. Hell is so bad, listen to this. Hell is so bad that even the demons on one occasion begged Jesus Christ to not torment us before our time. You don't think hell's bad? Demons even begged Jesus Christ in the demoniac of Gadara story. Said, don't torment us before our time. Don't send us to hell. And even Jesus showed mercy on demons and said, well, I'll just send you into the swine. The point is, they were begging not to go. They were begging. They knew they're going. They knew that was their irrevocable destiny. They knew that, but they, listen, oh mercy, the demons even were begging, don't torment us before our time. We know we're going, our time's coming, but don't make us go early. Let us, every day that we can stay out of hell, amen, that's a lot better than being in hell. That's what demons think about it. And I want to end tonight. I could say more. If I ended right now with just our thought right now, I would be doing the message injustice. Because all I've talked about thus far is the broad road that leads to destruction. But I'm glad there's a marvelous exit. I'm glad there's a marvelous exit. You don't have to go. You don't have to stay on the broad road. If you're on the broad road tonight, every step you take, you're gambling. You don't know if you're going to breathe another breath. You don't know if you're going to, listen, get up the next morning, or if you'll live to pillow your head at night. You don't know that. You're not in charge of that. Amen. Listen, you may be hearing your last message tonight. I may be preaching my last message tonight. But oh, would y'all listen to the preacher? Oh, listen to the preacher. If I was preaching, Brother Sam, my last message tonight, I would want it to be this one. People would say, Preacher Ackley, last thing he said before he left here, hallelujah, is get off the broad road. There's another option, and it's not just another option. It's a wonderful option. It's a glorious option. Hallelujah. You know, just like I said about the broad road, those that's on the broad road, everybody's wanting off. Or everybody that goes to hell's wanting out. Nobody on the narrow road is wanting off of it. Oh. Nobody on the narrow road is wanting off. We are satisfied with the narrow road. Listen to this right here. Listen. The broad road, their focus is on the width. And they don't think about the destiny. Those of us that are on the narrow road, we're not thinking about the narrowness. You don't hear me talking about what I can't do. You don't hear me talking about how narrow it is. My focus, Brother Joe, my focus is on the end. The end. It's narrow. But look at the end. Look where we're going. Life eternal. Amen. We're not focusing on the narrowness. We're not whining about what we can't do and where we can't go and what we can't wear and amen. We don't do it. That ain't it. Our focus is on the end. It's leading to the life eternal. That same word leadeth that said that those on the broad road leadeth them to destruction. Same word is used in 14 about those of us that's on the narrow road that's leading us to life eternal. That means it's carrying us away. It's taking us away. It's pulling us away. Thank God. I don't have to wonder where I'm going. I don't have to wonder where I'm going to wind up. I've already read the last chapter. I'm going to wind up in the glory world. Thank God there's a marvelous exit. You can get off of it tonight. How do you get off of it? You get off of it the same way you got on it. You got on it with a birth. You got on the broad road with a birth. Your physical birth. You get off of it with a new birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Thank God, January 20th, I got off the broad road. I was taken off of the broad road. I was lifted off the broad road. Hey, listen, did you know there's no exits on the broad road? I'm talking about just detour. We're just going to detour. There's no rest areas. The only way you're going to get off the broad road is have the new birth.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
Have you been born again? Isn't that old-fashioned preaching? Have you been born again? But preacher, I'm a Baptist. I didn't ask you that. Hell's going to be full of Baptists. And I could name any other denomination you want to add to that list. Hell's going to be full of religious people. You said, preacher, I'm going to heaven. I mean, I'm a good person. Listen, I promise you this is right. There's people living on the broad road, a more clean and moral life than many church people are living. But they're still on the broad road. You honestly believe that you might get a chance of going to heaven by how you're living? You honestly think that you could do good enough and be clean enough and moral enough and sincere enough to make it? Brother Josh, how many sins did it take to cause Adam and Eve to be lost in the beginning? Hold that finger up high. One sin. And you know what it was? It was just one act of disobedience against one command. They had everything going for them. They were in a perfect environment, innocent. They had nobody there to lust after, nobody there to corrupt them. They had everything going for them. But our flesh is so frail and feeble when it comes to righteousness that even Adam and Eve could not even be true, consistently true, to a one-verse Bible. Just one command. That shows how weak you... Listen, if anybody had a chance to make it with their do-goods, it would have been Adam and Eve. There's no chance of you making it on your own. That's why Jesus had to come here. And I'm right now done. You said, preach, this is a long service. If you miss heaven tonight, you would have wished I'd have preached for 2 days. If you leave here, there's no doubt in my mind, God's going to throw out the lifeline tonight. There's some folk in this building trouble tonight. God has sent a message tonight. And I hope that you're going to take it seriously. Are you saved? Do you know the Lord? That's a big question. Does the Bible confirm that you know the Lord? Amen. The merciless end. And then there's the marvelous exit. When I go to the judgment seat, when we go to the judgment seat, there's going to be a bow around the throne, which is an emblem of mercy from Genesis. God said, when I see that bow, I'm going to be reminded not to. I'm not going to send that judgment. We're going to have mercy on and on and on. And you talking about the mercy? Talking about mercy? You know what the Bible says? Mercy's what withholds what I deserve, right? It withholds judgment. It withholds condemnation, right? Guess how long that mercy lasts? The Bible says it's everlasting. His mercy, that is that which withholds my judgment, His mercy endureth forever. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory. But there's no mercy at the white throne judgment. No bow around the throne. No mercy. No mercy. Please, I beg you in Jesus' name, treat this seriously tonight. Because one of the things that happens in hell, whoever plays the piano, go ahead and get on the piano. One of the things that happens in hell is that you will have an unstoppable memory. You won't be able to turn it off. You won't be able to take a nap and slip into a state of unconsciousness and dismiss. No, it'll be recurring. And you know what one of those memories has now become in your life? It's going to be you'll remember this message. If you miss heaven, I'm talking about if you miss heaven, and you go to hell, you wind up in hell, you'll hear this message over and over and over. You don't have to go there. One of the torments of hell, Brother Josh, and there's many, but probably one of the worst has to be, is the overwhelming reality, I did not have to come here. Amen. I could have listened. I could have received Christ. I could have repented of my sin. I could have, and I could have gotten saved. And it's too late now. No more chances. No hope. But I want everybody to do this. Everybody listen. Everybody do this. That means you're not inhaled yet. You're still here tonight. God sent a message. There's hope for you. Jesus is available, ready to save to the uttermost. I want us to all stand quietly. Father, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, I've done my best, Lord, to try to know your will for the service. Lord, I've tried to be faithful to the Word of God. And Lord, I ask you in Jesus' name that you will help us tonight. Lord, there's people in this service without a doubt that needs to be saved tonight. Lord, you did not send your Word in vain tonight. You sent your Word on purpose, and you said it would not return unto you void. So, Lord, I'm asking you tonight that you would put the drawing power of the Spirit of God in this service, and that sinners would run, literally run to the altar. I'm lost. I'm lost. I'm unsaved. I'm not saved. I need to get saved tonight. And they need to run to this altar. Someone will take the Word of God and show them from the Bible what the Scripture says about being saved. Honor your precious Son, Father, our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Save sinners. And then, Lord, I ask you tonight to stir the saints of God, that we should be living that narrow road life, tickled absolutely to death about the destiny that we're headed to. If we're not careful, even as believers, we can get sidetracked and distracted. Instead of living the narrow road life in an honorable way, we get slack. Lord, let these altars fill up with people that says, tonight is the night that I'm going to get serious about my spiritual life, my spiritual walk, and my spiritual service. I'm going to do the will of God. Use the message tonight, Lord, for your glory. She's playing on the piano tonight. Several in the altar. You've heard the message. You've heard the singing tonight. If God has spoke to your heart, you say, preacher, if I go, what will people think? Are you serious? You seriously going to let that thought keep you from getting saved tonight? That's a pride issue. Did you know there's not going to be any pride in hell? Not a speck of it. Nobody in hell is going to be boasting about what they did and who they were and their name and their accomplishments. There's nobody going to be talking about that. There's nobody in hell going to talk about how much money they made, how much money they had, who their family was. Please, I beg you, don't let pride stand in your way. You say, I'm a member of Morningstar. Who cares? God's not going to come and look for a church member record so he grants you an entrance to heaven. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The blood of Jesus. Are you saved tonight? Do you know the Lord tonight? Are you willing to face the uncertainty of tomorrow that way? You know what the devil's whispering some of your ears? I guarantee it. If you're lost, some of you, he's whispering in your ear tonight. Ah, oh, that preacher's just overly sincere. Look at you. You've been partying and just living that hoorah life, and look at you. You're doing good. Look at you, you're 18 years old, you're not dead yet. Look at you, you're 25, you're not dead yet. Boast not. Young man, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. James chapter 4 said, your life is a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. When I had all of you to take that inhale and exhale a while ago, that was mercy. But the day's going to come when it's either going to be an inhale and that's it, or an exhale and that's it. Be too late then. You won't have time to call the preacher and say, pray for me. You won't have time to say, oh, would somebody give me a CD of that message on that Friday night service so I can hear it again? Oh, I'm serious now, preacher. I'm leaving this world. I'm leaving this world. And preacher, I'm serious now. But it may be too late. There was a man that told D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody begged him to get saved. Begged him on more than one occasion. Begged him to get saved. And this man had it in his mind, I'm going to go west. I'm going to make my money. I'm going to make a lot of money. And this is what he told him. I read it. He said, I'm going to come back and I'll get saved. He said, I'll get saved. I'm going to go west, make my fortune, come back, and I'll get saved. Told Brother Moody that every time. And on one occasion, Brother Moody put his hand on his shoulder, begging him, son, you don't know if you'll make it back, and all of that. He said, don't do that. Don't do that. You can't plan your salvation. Right now is all you got. You don't have yesterday, it's gone. Tomorrow, it may never come. You don't know. And he put his hand on his shoulder. And that young man grabbed his hand off of his shoulder and throwed it off and said, don't ever talk to me about my salvation again. I told you I'm going west. I'm going to make my fortune. And then I'll come back and I'll get saved. D.L. Moody walked off, went home. And that young man went home. That night, a knock came at D.L. Moody's door, and it was that man's wife. And she was begging, preacher, come quickly. Come quickly. That night, friend, come quickly. Come quickly. He knew in his heart it was no use, but he did it anyway. Went and got his clothes on and everything and went to the man's house, walked up the steps and into the bedroom, and there laid that man in the bed staring at the ceiling. And he was saying two words over and over and over and over and over again. And it only stopped when his last breath left his body. And here's what it was. Too late. Too late. Too late. I beg you. You may have come tonight to eat pizza. You may have come tonight to play ball. But God sent this message. Sincere. It's as sincere a message as I've preached in probably 2 years. And that's how long it's been since I preached this message the first time. This is the second time I preached this message. There was people got saved that first time. And I'm telling you, the power of God was just as strong in this service tonight in the preaching of this message as it was in 2017 in Rosman, North Carolina, at Rosman Baptist Tabernacle. Father, I've done my best. It's all I can do. I'd like, if I could get saved for them, I would, but I can't. And I'm asking you, dear Lord, to put the fear of God in their heart, put them under Holy Ghost conviction. Save them. Lord, don't let them sleep good tonight. Trouble them. We're going to be here. There'll be a lot of people here after the service, playing, eating, fellowshipping. Lord, I pray if there's trouble in that sinner's heart, that they'll find somebody, find the preacher, and do business with the Lord about salvation. There's some saved people in this service tonight. They need to tighten up their life, because they're starting to resemble a lot of the broad road living and still claiming to be on the narrow road. God, that displeases you, and you being a faithful Father, if they really belong to you, you're gonna deal with that in chastisement and correction. Have your way, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to throw out the lifeline once again. For Jesus. Amen. Preach, you come.